reading such a long passage. Can everybody see me? Can, right? Okay, thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we revisit the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, grant us a heart of teachability and humility as we look into your word, that we may gain new insights and respond in a way that is pleasing in your sight. Amen. Now, let us test to see if you know the title of these stories. Now, I need you to guess the titles of these stories. All right, you can have the answer on your head. Then after 5 seconds, then I will review the answer. All right, but you cannot ask Google or AI, huh? Okay, first one. Okay. Yeah, I heard some answers. Okay, let's see the answers. Yes, the three little pigs. Okay, the next one. Yes. Ah, yes, Joshua said the little red riding hood. Is that the answer? That's right. Okay, next one. Yes, I heard many. I heard the answers already. Okay, let's see again. The Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Okay, last one. Let's see the answer again. Jack and the Beanstalk. Yes, bingo. All of you have answered correctly, but no prize. Okay. Now, these are childhood stories that we are very familiar with. In fact, you don't have to ask Google or AI, right? You can guess it already. Just by looking at it, you can know the answers. However, these are just stories that rarely have any significant impact on our lives, although some may have good values behind them. Now, the passage that we are looking at today, Matthew chapter 27, is also very familiar to us. Blank the slide first. Yes, thank you. Now, it is a story that most of you have heard while growing up in Sunday school, or that you have heard since you received Christ. However, this is not just another childhood story that you have heard. It is a life-transforming story that has impacted many lives. Now, you are hearing it again. May I appeal to you to consider how you will respond differently to Jesus this time. Last year in December, we began in Matthew chapter 1 with the genealogy of Jesus, who is the ultimate fulfillment of God's salvation plan for humankind. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. In today's passage, Jesus has indeed fulfilled the prophecy through his suffering and death. Although it is God's plan that Jesus has to suffer and to die, we should also consider the people who are involved, positively and negatively, in the process of Jesus' suffering and death. This morning, we will look at the different responses of the key characters toward Jesus in Matthew chapter 27. Judas Iscariot, the Jewish leaders, Pontius Pilate, the Roman centurion, and the women who followed Jesus. What can we learn from their responses? Last Sunday, we learned about Judas' betrayer. After he betrayed Jesus to the Jewish leaders and saw that he was condemned, he changed his mind. He realized he had betrayed innocent blood and decided to return the 30 pieces of silver. But apparently, the chief priests and the elders were not concerned about how Judas felt. He then went and hanged himself. The money was considered blood money, so the chief priests and the elders used to buy the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. According to some commentators, the inclusion of this account shows that even the smallest detail of the event is a fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures, verses 9 to 10. Yet, what does the act of Judas, taking his own life, tells us about his response toward Jesus. Verse 3 reads, "He changed his mind." In another version, it reads, "He felt remorse or repented." Now, in the original language, it is metamelomai, which means to repent or to regret. And this usually implies regret over what has been done without transformation of life. Now, a transformation of life would be metanoia in the original language, which means an abandonment of sin and an embrace of life transformation. Judas clearly regretted what he had done to Jesus and wanted to undo his action. But instead of turning to Jesus for true repentance, he decided to take his own life. His remorse and repentance were a result of his guilty conscience that he had betrayed innocent blood. But that did not lead him to turn to Jesus and seek forgiveness. In contrast, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. But after Jesus restored Peter, he turned to Jesus and gave his life to serve him. Now, for our reflection here, we feel remorse and guilt when we know we have sinned against God. But do we turn to Jesus for repentance, or do we try to make things right by ourselves? May we show metanoia so that our lives may be truly transformed to show who Jesus truly is. Now, after Judas betrayed Jesus, the chief priests and the elders delivered him to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. It was ironic that they delivered Jesus over to Pilate because they had poor relations with him. According to historical records, on a few occasions, Pilate had offended the Jews by disregarding Jewish religious law. And in addition, there was already resentment among the Jews against foreign rule. Yet, only the Roman authorities could sentence someone to be crucified. Now, this also shows how adamant the Jewish leaders were to destroy Jesus, the King of the Jews, even when they found no fault with him. Chapter 26, verses 59 to 60. Now, Pilate knew that Jesus had committed no crime. It was out of envy that they delivered him up, verses 18 and 23. He was also warned by his wife to have nothing to do with Jesus, verse 19. Yet he nonetheless delivered him to be crucified. Now, question: was Pilate really innocent of Jesus' blood, even though he washed his hands? Verse 24. As a Roman governor, he had the responsibility to pursue justice, but he chose political expediency over justice. According to a commentator, his hesitation to crucify Jesus was to spite the Jews rather than to uphold justice. Clearly, Pilate had no interest in seeking justice for Jesus and was indifferent to who Jesus claimed to be, as long as Jesus posed no threat to Roman rule. Likewise, we too can be indifferent to who Jesus is, as long as our personal interests are not threatened. When I meet patients, sometimes I will ask them about their beliefs and religion to understand what is guiding their lives. And for most of them, after sharing what they believe, they will add on to say this: "Actually, all religions are the same. They teach people to do good." Now, while this may sound like being open towards Jesus, but the underlying meaning is this: it does not matter who Jesus really is, as long as he teaches people to do good. As long as I don't have to commit myself to him and my personal interests are not threatened. Now for our reflection. As followers of Jesus, have we become indifferent to him in the way we live our lives? Are we adamant about doing this our own way, following our own plans, and disregarding who he is? Although Pilate was the one who sentenced Jesus, it was the Jewish leaders who persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Verse 20. They also mocked Jesus, who was hung on the cross. Verses 41 to 43. Now, according to the commentator Leon Morris, the Jewish leaders' mocking of Jesus at the crucifixion scene was an indication of the depth of their hostility and vindictiveness toward Jesus. After Jesus died and was buried, they secured the tomb by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Verse 66. They feared that the disciples would steal it and claim that Jesus had been resurrected. Now, the Jewish leaders knew the Old Testament scriptures and prophecy well. Yet, when Jesus stood before them and claimed who he was, they chose not to believe him and even instigated his death. They showed their outright disbelief and disgust toward Jesus, who was the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. Now, most of us have been Christian for many years. In fact, some of you even grew up in church and have been learning the scriptures since young. It is possible to know the scriptures without allowing the scriptures to transform our lives, just like the Jewish leaders. So we must ask ourselves this question. Has our knowledge of God produced greater faith in him? Does the way we live testify that we believe in him? And when others see us, do they see a life that points them toward God? Can they see the true Jesus in us? Now, if you follow the recent news, you will know about the ongoing rock opera musical that is being staged in Singapore from 19 August to 6 September at Marina Bay Sands. Now, this musical is called Jesus Christ Superstar. It's currently showing. Now, just a brief background. This musical was first released as a rock opera album in 1970, and in 1971, it became the first Broadway production. The film was approved for screening in Singapore in 1974. So actually, this was not the first time that it's filming in Singapore. So some of our seniors among us may recall this. Now, this was written by Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber. Tim Rice was first inspired by Bob Dylan's lyric, "Did Judas Iscariot have God on his side?" And Andrew said this, "Rather than telling the story of the last 6 days of the life of Jesus Christ, one is actually trying to examine why it was that Judas betrayed somebody that he clearly loved." Now, the story is based on the events in the final weeks of Jesus' life and is seen through the lens of Judas Iscariot. A disclaimer on ticketing platform states that this show is not intended to be a biblically accurate representation of the life of Jesus. The story portrays Jesus in Judas' mind as just a mortal man. It also depicts Jesus as a rebel who is trying to revolutionize the status quo, as well as other inaccurate depictions of the biblical accounts. Now, the portrayal of Jesus as such reflects the kind of responses toward Jesus: indifference and mockery toward who he truly is. As followers of Jesus, the way we respond to him speaks volumes especially in contrast to the world's response. Now, according to CNA, dated 11 June, the National Council of Churches of Singapore statement in response to Jesus Christ Superstar observed that some Christians regard its portrayal of Jesus as not only incomplete, but also theologically problematic. Others have even taken offense because in their view, the musical has blasphemously distorted the true identity of Jesus Christ. However, there are still others who view the musical as an artistic work that provides opportunities for reflection, conversations, and even witness concerning the person and work of Christ. The Council said it encouraged Christians to express their convictions responsibly and to engage cultural works with discernment and wisdom. Indeed, how we respond to the musical matters. Yet, amid the diverse response of who Jesus is, what matters even more is how we respond to him. Now we shall now look at the positive responses toward Jesus from the Roman centurion and the women. Verse 54 says that the Roman centurion and those with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place. They were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The Good News translation reads, "He really was the Son of God." The same confession that Peter made of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. They were likely among those who had scourged Jesus and mocked him. And now they make a confession of who he is after witnessing his death. This highlights one of Matthew's key intentions. The gospel of Jesus Christ would extend beyond Israel and reach the Gentiles. We see this in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, where the first people to worship Jesus are the wise men who came from the east. Besides the Roman centurion's confession, Matthew also mentioned many women who were looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Verse 55. They had followed Jesus from Galilee, which was a long way, and had been ministering to or providing for Jesus before. Now the word follow has the nuance of being followers or disciples. Jesus' disciples had fled the moment he was arrested. But these women followed Jesus all the way, ministering to him and being present at the crucifixion scene. The commentator Leon Morris suggests that their presence at the crucifixion scenes shows their continuing loyalty to Jesus. Although they were looking for from a distance, perhaps this was so as not to associate themselves with the mockers. He also suggests that these women were faithful to the end and watched the last moments of their Lord. Matthew makes special mention of Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee, verse 56. Mary Magdalene was also mentioned in verse 61, sitting opposite Jesus' tomb with the other Mary. Furthermore, Morris suggests that the women would have been observing the scene and planning to come back after the Sabbath to complete anything that was lacking for a fitting burial. The women demonstrated their dedication to provide for Jesus, even for his burial. Here we see a striking contrast in the way people responded to Jesus. Judas, Pilate, and the Jewish leaders responded in betrayal, indifference, and hostility, while the Roman centurion and the women responded with belief and a life of commitment and faithfulness. Which response to Jesus is reflected in your own lives? Now, in our world today, there are also many diverse responses toward Jesus. Those who choose not to believe and act in indifference and hostility, and those who are committed and faithful followers of Jesus. Now, one such example is Somalia, located in East Africa along the Indian Ocean. According to Open Doors International, which seeks to provide and support persecuted Christians, Somalia ranks second among the 50 countries where Christians face the most severe persecution. In Somalia, it is illegal to convert from Islam to Christianity. Converts may face violence, be disowned by their families, and even face execution, often by their own family members. Despite that, there is a convert named Awis Ali. He was cut off from his clan when he chose to become a Christian. Despite that, he continues to hold on to his faith. He faces persecution from the authorities, and he lost all his Christian friends who were killed. Yet, that does not stop him from believing in God. Today, he is a scholar, author, and Bible translator, and he works with Somali Christians. He holds fast to his faith in the face of persecution and among people who are hostile toward Jesus. He has shown through his life who Jesus truly is. Although we are not discriminated against or persecuted for our faith in Singapore, we too are living among people who are indifferent and hostile toward Jesus, as seen in the musical Jesus Christ Superstar. Will you be like Awis Ali, holding fast to your faith and showing the world who Jesus really is? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be discerning and wise in a world that portrays a different Jesus from what we believe. Help us to be faithful and true to who Jesus is and to what he has done for us, so that the world may know the true Jesus. Amen.